I believe that the first part of the book of Romans in chapter 6, the greater half of this is talking about a lost doctrine. I think he is speaking, at least referring to, backwards and forwards, the doctrine of regeneration. I truly do. Now, just listen to me. We're going to put on our thinking caps for a moment. I want you to look at what's been done to evangelical Christianity in America. Evangelism is all about decision. Decision. Make your decision. I made my decision. Hour of decision. Have you made your decision? You've got to make your decision for Christ. Salvation has come down to a man in the power of his own will making a decision for Christ. It's almost like salvation is a decision to jump out of the line going to hell, to jump into the line going to heaven, and that's it. And anyone who's made that decision, we tell them they've been born again. But we have no concept of what the term born again or born from above really means. Born again or born from above is the doctrine of regeneration. What does it mean? Well, first of all, the Bible says that we're dead in our sins. The word there means dead. If it meant something else, they'd have put something else. Doesn't mean sick in our sins, troubled in our sins, plighted by our sins, dead in our sins. Regeneration is made alive. That we were spiritually dead to God. Now, what does that mean? Well, let me give you an example. So there's a dead man on the platform right here. He's dead. He's laying here. He's dead. Not mostly dead, but dead. Okay? And I come to him, being the benevolent Samaritan that I am, I come to him and I say, "Sir, hearken unto my voice. Not far from here is a well-established hospital. They have those funny electric things that they can put on your chest. And though it will be quite painful, they can shock you back into existence. Now, sir, come with me. What's wrong? You want to be dead all your life? Come. Please. Now." That's ridiculous, isn't it? Well, so is our evangelism. So is our evangelism. Can you imagine me and Brother Randall 2,000 years ago, standing in front of Lazarus' tomb? "Lazarus, come forth." Okay, you try. "Lazarus, come forth." You try. "Lazaro, ven acá." You know any other language? What's going to happen? We're going to stand there all day until we are hoarse, going, "Lazarus, come forth." Lazarus just happens to have a problem. When you're dead, you can't hear anybody. Now, but think about this. Jesus comes up and goes, "Lazarus, come forth." There's still the problem. Jesus spoke. Whoopee! He spoke to a dead man. Dead men can't hear. So what you need to understand is when Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth," he also imparted into Lazarus the life to stand up and hear.
That's right.
And that's what you don't recognize. When a man gets out to preach the gospel, he is not some little tinker toy type of man who's learned a few slick systems who can go out and motivate and coerce and manipulate people emotionally to come forward. If he is a true preacher of God, he is a prophet standing in a valley full of dead bones. And God looks at him and says, "Can these bones live?" And he says, "You know, Lord. Well then, son, call upon the wind. Speak to these bones." That's the problem in America today. You think salvation is just some little human decision of the will. The fact of the matter is, it is a supernatural work of God. Men hate God. Don't you recognize that? And men cannot come to God. Why? Because they hate him. It's like this. Let me give you an example. It says in the Bible that Joseph's brothers could not speak a kind or gentle word to him. Why is that? Did they have lips? Yes. Did they have tongues? Were any of them mute? Not that I understand. Why is it that his brothers could not speak a good word to him? It says, because they hated him. So what it's saying is this. Have you ever seen a person who you say, you need to forgive this other person? I can't. Why not? I just can't. They've done me so much wrong, I cannot forgive them. What are they saying? The animosity, the bitterness, the hatred in my heart keeps me from forgiving them. That's why when we say men can't come to God, we're saying they can't come to God because they won't come to God, and they won't come to God because God is holy, they're wicked, and they hate what they see. And Jesus said the same thing. You will not come to the light because your deeds are evil. Men are evil. So the more they see of God and the more they see of God's law, the more they will hate God and kick against His law. That is why when a preacher like me gets up to preach, he knows it's absolutely hopeless. No matter what I say, no matter what I do, I cannot coerce, I cannot manipulate. Why? The Spirit of Almighty God must come down in that place and resurrect people.
That's right.
It is a spiritual work of God, not a thing for tiny boys.